Hello and welcome back to the Brian Hughes Podcast. So glad, as always, that you're here joining us. If you haven't been able to catch the episode so far, just a reminder, you can do that anywhere you get podcasts. You know, of course, if you're listening to it right now, you can just go back in the timeline. But if you prefer another service, you know, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, wherever, you can catch us there. And also, we just ask if you would just take a moment to share the podcast with somebody you love. Maybe somebody you don't love. Share with anybody, really, because we think they could potentially benefit from some of the life application that we've been able to talk about and then we've got to hear from Brian about so far. Now, this is only really episode 3 or maybe kind of 2 because we 2.5 because we had a little bit of a pilot episode. But already we're going to change it up just a little bit here because our Into the Wild message or subject most recently was Moses. And I had the distinct pleasure of being able to speak on him at PCC, which you can, of course, also check out that message if you want to on our website, passioncommunity.com. And I encourage you that you do, because I'm going to lay out a little bit of a summary of what I talked about, but there's definitely going to be a lot more in the message that I think will help tie it together. But we're just going to hop right in, and I'm essentially going to talk a little bit about what I felt like God was showing me as I was researching for this message and researching, thinking about Moses, because I'll tell you a funny story. When we got, just to let y'all behind the curtain a little bit, when Brian does a lot of our series planning, really the whole macro of it, when we're laying out like the whole year, Brian has this ritual he does. We'll probably talk about it sometime, how he gets there. And anyway, lately though, he's been empowering Angie to sort of come up with what we would consider our summer series. Not that he doesn't have any input, of course, but he's been enabling Angie to really set the stage for that, and Angie has done a fantastic job sort of leaning both into sort of the thematic, like this feels like the summer season, while also not just making that the whole thing, right? Because it'd be easy to just do a series that was, oh, it's fun or whatever, but there's no real application to it. Of course, though, these stories in particular, in this one, Into the Wild, are really, really meaningful. And so when I heard, hey, we're going to do a series on people who had a wilderness experience and you're going to do Moses, I was like, where do I even begin?
Because like 5 chapters of the Bible, I mean, 5 books of the Bible.
Well, yeah, and his entire life is in the wilderness. So I was like, okay, so there's only about 100 stories I could pick from with Moses, which was what's interesting about that is it was actually sort of that exercise of like, what do I even pick out of his life that sort of brought me to where I landed? That idea that Moses spent his entire life in the wilderness, and yet he is one of the most titanic figures in all of Scripture and faith, precisely because of his relationship with God. And so what I talked about in the message was when we think about the wilderness, and what I mean by that is sort of like the hard seasons of our life, the hard things we go through. When we think about the wilderness, typically we think about that as like the absence of God, right? Because if God really were with me, if God really cared about me, if God showed me favor in my life, things would be good, right? Like that's what we think it should be. That's what makes sense in sort of our human understanding of faith in God. But Moses' life is basically a direct counter to that with the same result. His whole life basically is spent in the wilderness, and God showed him so much favor in that time. So is his life trying to teach us something about what it actually means to be in the wilderness?
Which I thought, by the way, was a brilliant approach. I never considered that I never even thought about what you said. When you came back and said, this is what I'm going to talk about, I was like, holy cow, that's amazing.
Yeah, well, again, it's just something that, like, I think it was, as often as it happens, you sort of labor and toil over, well, what is God saying to me? And I did that so much because, again, it felt like I had infinite number of options, which is, fortunately, God showed me was maybe the option. So anyway, I sort of raised 3 sort of observations about his life that maybe we could learn from it in terms of that idea that I just described. So I'm just going to, again, I'm not going to re-speak the whole message. So you want to go check it out to get some insight. But one of those observations was maybe the wilderness, not the comfort, is where God is. And that's sort of what I was just talking about, right? And then I illustrated it with the point that, you know, Moses spends, the sort of best guesstimate based on scripture references we have and things like that is he spends 80 years of his life in the wilderness between wandering around with the Israelites after they get out of Egypt and sort of, you know, don't go into the promised land. But before that, after he murders someone and flees Egypt on his own, that's a 40-year stay. The one with the Israelites is famously a 40-year stay.
Right.
So, you know, 80-ish years out in the wilderness. And again, he's so well-known for being so close to God. So the idea being that the only time, the only recorded instance in the Bible where we don't actually have record of God moving in Moses' life is when he was in the comfort in the palaces of Egypt.
Right.
And I just think that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, that could speak a different thing to all of us, but I just thought it was worth noting. The second is maybe the wilderness is preparing you for something else. So I just talked about this sort of two 40-year wilderness stays. If God called Moses in Egypt while he was in the palace of the Egyptians and basically was like, hey, I'm using you right now, and they actually got out, Moses would have no idea how to even survive in the wilderness.
That's right.
He would have led all these people to their death because he probably wouldn't have known how to build a fire or build a shelter or hunt for food because he's never had to do that in the palace.
Right.
Right? Somebody did that for him. So this sort of first wilderness stay, even though it was Moses who put himself there via murder, God used to train him not only to gain those technical skills, but more importantly, to gain the skill of actually leading people, not sort of lording over people, which he was going to need, of course, later. And the third point was maybe the wilderness is the better path for you right now. And I even said in the message that I say that with a little bit of fear and trepidation because I know it can be interpreted as a lot of things I don't mean it as.
Right.
Like God put this hardship in my life on purpose to teach me something. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that God sees what we cannot,
right?
The things ahead of us. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, we don't have a clear view of what's to come and what the repercussions of a particular decision or life move might be. But God does know those things. And so maybe it's the case that in your situation right now, God is sort of intentionally pulling you on a different path. Because if you went on the path you thought was the best one, that's the easiest to see, you would end up in a worse spot than you are now. And this plays out in the Israelite situation, which you'll have to listen to figure that out. So those were sort of the three observations I made about Moses, and I figured we could just talk a little bit about that, you know, because I've done a lot of thinking about it, but, you know, this is the Brian Hughes podcast after
all.
I'm just kidding. No, I really appreciate the opportunity to do it. I feel like I learned so much just from exploring it, and I just felt like I grew as a person, which is sort of all you want. It's a lot of what you want when you're preaching these things too. You know, I certainly don't get up there. I'm sure you would say you don't get up there feeling like everything you talk about, you always have it all figured out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I could really see this, even just for me, you know, maybe not for anybody else, but even just for me being helpful to me down the road in my life. So
I think that, I mean, just talking about messages, the best kinds of messages, I think, are where I feel like I've gone on a journey.
Yes.
And I feel like God showed me something often about me, and I just got to share the journey.
Right.
So I think, you know, when we go, I think it's important for communicators, particularly communicators of, if you're going to be speaking on behalf of God, you might want to get that right.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I don't want to go into the preaching moment with some kind of preconceived notion about this is what I have to convince people of. I'm really trying to find out what does God want to show me? And I always feel this amazing amount of privilege if that happens. I mean, 7 billion people on the planet, and somehow God decided to reveal this truth to me.
Yeah.
What you talked about in the Moses message, I have never heard anyone put together that this way. I mean, it's really, really mind-blowing. And I think, you know, we can just say, gosh, you know, God took Elijah on a journey, and Elijah shared it with all of us, and it was relevant. Mm. I do think the story of Moses, there are very few figures. You can count on one hand how many figures in the Bible have the potency of Moses.
Oh, yeah.
If you put Jesus in his own category, which he deserves, by the way,
right?
And then, you know, who else goes with Moses? Abraham?
It's like David.
David, maybe. I mean, you know, and maybe the Apostle Paul. I don't know.
Just for a fun biblical fact, Moses, not counting God, but even if you do count Jesus in the list, Moses is mentioned the third most times in all
of
Scripture.
Right? Yeah, that's powerful.
It's Jesus 1, David 2, Moses 3.
Moses. But he usurps Abraham.
Yeah.
Bro, that's quite a feat.
Yeah.
So I do think there's so many places you could go with Moses and say, what can I learn from his life? There's a sin and repentance piece. There's a little bit of an anger management problem,
A self-confidence thing, too.
Absolutely a self-confidence. Argue with God component. You could do a whole message on arguing with God, which Moses does, by the way. There's just so many places you could go with Moses. I loved your wilderness piece, and I think it's super applicable and relevant. And so I thought that maybe I would just share, because this is the Brian Hughes podcast, and some of this is just sharing a little bit about my own story, I thought I would share a few of the pieces where I 100% believe that this is true. And I thought I'd share a couple of stories about that. Isn't it odd that while we can intellectually, even you and me, we can intellectually grasp and even get excited about these truths, maybe the wilderness is where God is. Maybe the wilderness is preparing you for something else. Maybe the wilderness is the better path right now. You and I can nod our heads. We believe that. We champion it. But when we stop recording today, we're going to go pursue luxury.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn my air conditioner on, and I'm going to turn my big screen 85-inch LED on,
right.
And I'm going to, I'm going to pursue luxury.
Yeah.
And somewhere, when we're done recording today, this is not flattering, but somewhere before I put my head on my pillow tonight, I'm going to have this thought. Sure would be nice if I had a
fill in the blank. Yep.
And that blank is not wilderness.
Nope.
It's luxury. It's something that whatever it is, and I promise it's going to happen, it's something I don't need, but somehow I might convince myself that I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So for all this talk of wilderness, none of us like it.
No.
What we like is luxury.
Yeah, you definitely want to be in that palace, for sure.
And
yeah.
Yet, I look back on my life, and I think Elijah is so right. He's so right. The story of my life is the growth that I have experienced through the wilderness. And I thought I'd share just a few of those stories.
Absolutely.
When I was at my first church. Made up of great people. Somebody in our listening group probably knows more about this story. And I'm not, I just want to preface it by saying I'm not trying to belittle anybody. But my first church was a very small, traditional church where everybody was related to everybody. Mm. And I was so young and I was so dumb, I didn't get it. I didn't understand what was happening in the family system.
Yeah.
And it was chewing me up and spitting me out, but I never even realized what was happening. And nobody meant anything malicious. But it was so painful because they brought me in. I was really young, had a lot of energy, and they brought me in. And I remember very early, it might have been on my very first day, I said, why'd you bring me here? And they said, we wanted somebody who was young so the church could grow. And what I thought that meant was go get them. Go get them. Go get everyone you can get.
Yeah.
What they really meant was we'd love to have a new family or two every year.
Mm.
And I really didn't understand that. So within a year, we were breaking fire code. We'd putting out chairs. We'd baptize 50 people. I mean, it's just craziness. But it was super ugly. And I participated in the ugly. I'm ashamed to say. I mean, I didn't know any other way to do it. There was a lot of hurtful things that we did to each other and all that. And the honeymoon was over quickly, really quick. The church grew like nuts. It was nuts, but nobody was winning. And so I decided I've got to get out of here. And the thought of planting a church was not at this point. That seed had not yet been planted.
Yeah,
I knew I was called to be in ministry. I just wanted out of that church. So I called a guy that I knew who was a mentor to me. He was a lot older. He's gone now. But called Dr. Sherman, and I said, look, man, I can't do this anymore. You got to get me out of here. And he knew of another church in Southwest Virginia outside of Roanoke. that he said, I want you to talk to these people. And so it was at that time, it was the largest churches, largest church I could have ever imagined. It was like 400 people on a Sunday. And I thought, yeah. Oh my gosh, you know, this is going to be it. And it was very prestigious. At the time, it was a very prestigious church. And they got all the way down to two candidates, and I was one of them. And I thought, man, this is it. They're gonna pick me. And they didn't pick me. And it was such a low moment. And I thought, when you use the word wilderness, that was the first story that came. It felt like I was in the wilderness. And I knew, but here's the thing. I knew God was going to do something good. I just didn't know what it was. That entire experience, it wasn't long after that I woke up one morning and had the thought that maybe God wanted me to create a church for people who didn't go to church, which is who I had been. I was somebody who didn't go to church.
Yeah.
If I had gotten that job, which had perks, all kinds of perks,
yep,
PCC would not exist. And I would have been robbed of the adventure of being a part of it. Mm. It was in the wilderness that God was preparing me for something else, something better.
Yeah.
And it was powerful. And I think about that story, and I think about what a loss to me it would have been had I attained the luxury.
Right. But it was something you weren't able to see on your own, basically.
Yeah. And I think that's the key is, when you're in the wilderness, if people can grasp the things, the concepts that you taught, and resolve that maybe you're not in the wilderness now. When I'm in the next time I'm in the wilderness, I'm going to think to myself, God's up to something.
Yep. Yep.
And this wilderness is not a pause on my life right now. It's part of the purpose of my life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go through it, and I'm not just going to endure it. I'm going to persevere it. I'm going to grow through it.
Right.
I think about another time that I have talked about at our church is I hit this wall in ministry here. When you plant a church, and when you plant a church that grows rapidly, I mean, it'll eat you alive. It'll take every bit of time you can possibly allocate to it.
Yeah.
And at one point, I was just completely exhausted. I ended up in a doctor's office. And the doctor does this test, and it's not a blood test, it's like a paper test. And you think you're back in school, and he asks these all these questions, and you answer all these questions, and then you hand the doctor the paper. He does a little scribble, does some math on it, and he looks at me and he says, "Well, on a 3-level scale, you are moderately depressed." Mm. And I'm thinking, depressed? Man, you know, my wife loves me, and my kids are all healthy. I'm not broke. My church is going crazy. What do you mean depressed? And he said, when you go as long as you've gone, as hard as you've gone, your body, your emotion, you've exhausted all your serotonin. You're depressed. And that began this awful journey of what I would put in the wilderness. I was sad all the time. I cried a lot. I mean, all the symptoms of depression. I didn't want to get out of bed. I just wanted to draw the shades. I did function. I did my job, but at the bare minimum level. And I remember during that season, at one point, I cried. I did cry a lot for no good reason at all. And one day, Susan was hugging me, and I was crying. And I said these words. I said, "I know that God is going to use this for a greater purpose." I just knew it. Yeah. I had resolved to it. I decided ahead of time. I knew, and I still know.
Yeah.
And they put me on some medicine. I was on medicine for about a year, and was able to come off of it. And then out of that experience, I was able to begin to talk about depression on the other side of it. I think during it would have been hard and maybe not appropriate.
Sure.
But
yeah.
On the other side of it, I was able to talk about it. And people felt like all of a sudden it was okay to talk about.
Yeah.
They felt like they had permission, like it was because it's the one disease that is so has such stigma to it,
right?
Like nobody gives you a hard time if you go see an oncologist if you got cancer, but somehow, particularly the church, gives people a hard time when they need help with depression.
Yeah.
And they think that, well, if you're really a follower of Jesus, you'll just have joy in your life.
You can't have depression.
Yeah, you can't have depression.
Yeah.
Which is just so absurd.
Right.
It's just so offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Because until you've been there, you don't know. I mean, I had all the faith in the world in God, and my soul was just depleted. And I needed, there is a chemical process to depression. And if I didn't get some medicine, I'd never gotten well.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a lack of faith. In fact, God provided the healing. Of course he did, through the medicine.
Right.
So anyway, the wilderness experience that I encountered there, which was really awful. It was really awful. And yet, even during it, I knew God was shaping me for something, right, using it for something. And I think that kind of resolve is important before you get there. You got to decide, right?
Well, it reminds me of what you were saying in our last episode about calling. Just mm-hmm. you before this had done the work to know what your calling was.
Yep.
And
yep.
so at least in that way, you're prepared for the inevitable wilderness season. Of course, you couldn't have predicted what the wilderness looked like, but got there, you had done the work ahead of time. So, yeah, no, I think that's really important. And I think it's a lesson Moses learns along the way.
Yeah.
Right? One of the things that I didn't mention that I thought was fascinating and something important just to think about is, you know, both of these sort of major wilderness experiences, the first one for Moses in Midian and then the one for all of the Israelites, they both were like self-inflicted wilderness seasons.
Yep.
Right. And I think some people struggle with that too. Like, you know, we've already talked about it's real easy to say, but nobody actually wants to be in the wilderness.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And I don't think necessarily there's anything wrong with that. You know, I would argue, and one of the things I cover briefly in the message is that God doesn't necessarily desire for you to just always be hurting either. Right.
Right. Right.
My point is that God is still with you and still faithful to use you.
That's right.
Even in those seasons.
That's right. And grow you.
It's not like he's it's not like you're in the wilderness because he left you behind.
That's right.
Which is, again, I think what we tend to think about when we think of wilderness.
Right.
It would have been really easy for you, especially with depression, to think, well, where is God? To fall into the trap of thinking, how could I be depressed if God was with me and showing me all this, you know what I mean?
Right.
So he must not be with me.
Right.
Like And so there's no shame in anybody who's felt that way, because it really is tempting to do that. But I think that's what the Moses story, or really Moses's life, teaches us.
Well, it also highlights the delineation that we need to make between feeling and intellect.
Yes.
So, of course, there are times when I feel like God is absent, but I know that whether I feel him present or not, he is present.
Right.
And I think that's just so important. And so, you know, my own experience, both with going to, you know, not getting the job at that other church, and maybe my experience with depression, is something that, maybe some people have had a similar thing, and maybe they haven't. But one thing we all share in common is the wilderness experience from just a few years ago that we'd all like to forget.
Yes.
During the COVID pandemic, and I remember. I mean, that's a wilderness we all share.
Yes.
And I remember. I remember I was on a Zoom call with some of my closest friends who are all pastors of churches. And we were like, I don't remember, Elijah, we were like maybe a week into the pandemic, and the whole, when everything shut down.
Yeah.
And you know, you're in your home. It's like watching a sci-fi movie. You know, you're going down, you go downtown Richmond. There's not a car anywhere.
Nobody. Yeah.
Nobody. You use paper flying across the roads like chickens running. Right. It's just nuts. And so I'm on this Zoom call, and all of a sudden it just overwhelms me. And I like start sobbing, like super ugly cry. And I say to my friends, I feel like my whole life's work is vanishing before my eyes. Because nobody knew anything. Nobody knew. Was this the end of the world? Like, it literally felt at one point like we're all going to die.
Right.
Not that I'm afraid of that, but I mean, it felt like the world is ending. Anyway. So during that wilderness experience, our leadership team starts meeting. We meet every day. Every day.
Every day.
We meet by Zoom. And we're like, What are we going to say? What are we going to do? How do we keep the church moving forward? How are we not going to fall apart here?
Yeah.
Because if I can just speak really practically about this, the mortgage company didn't care.
Right, right.
Like we had a bill to pay. We had electricity. Our staff was counting on us. Like, and we're looking around going, I don't even know. I have no idea how long we can make it with the money we got in the bank. And I don't know if any income is going to come in. You're not having church.
Right.
And so here's the most amazing thing. God, for us, God used that wilderness experience, which was awful. And while many churches experienced something like a 30% decline in giving, our church experienced like a 40% increase in giving. And I think part of that was we were really intentional about listening to the voice of God and then being over-communicating with our whole church.
Yeah.
Like we were telling people all the time what we're doing, what we're thinking, how we're moving forward. We were reaching out to them to say, we know you're struggling, talk to us. We were giving them care. We were dropping off care packets. It was amazing how God shaped us through that season that could have killed us.
Right.
And now has made us stronger because of it.
Yeah.
Which is everything you said in the message.
Right. Yeah.
You know, my mom died during COVID. She died from COVID. And, you know, there's no way to, like, recover a pretty picture out of that. You know, you only got one mama.
Yeah.
I was really close to mine. I think about her all the time. I still miss her like crazy. And yet I still look back and think, we talked about this. We've talked about it a good bit lately in my home. I'm not sure why. This has just been on my mind. My mom would have made the worst patient ever if she had terrible health problems and she didn't take good care of herself. And so she was kind of destined to have something really catastrophic, like
right,
a stroke
right,
or something.
Right.
And mama would have hated life like that.
Mm.
And I think in many ways that God just, you know, that God looked on our situation and her situation and recognizing that my mom wouldn't have wanted to live, you know, with being immobile or all the things that she was really headed towards. She had every pre-existing condition you can think of. She had high blood pressure. She had diabetes. She had everything you could think of. I told her when the pandemic started, I said, Mama, you define a pre-existing condition. In fact, I told her, I said, if you get COVID, it's going to kill you.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
But she does. She did.
The subject,
she really did.
Having known her, I could see y'all talking that way. And it's just a funny mental image.
And she said, I'm not going to stay at home. So when she got COVID, somebody said, how'd your mama get COVID? I said, what are you talking about? She goes to Walmart for 4 hours every day. I mean, that's what she did.
Yeah, yeah.
But I look at that whole experience and I see the hand of God moving through all of it. Even as awful as it was, even with all the loss that we faced, God was never unfaithful. He was faithful the entire time. And we knew that before it ever happened.
Yeah.
We decided it before it ever happened. We knew it was true.
Yep.
I think that's a key part of it.
What I wrapped up the message with, and all those stories are fantastic, and I think they're just a perfect example of what we're learning from Moses here. But what I wrapped it up with was at the very end of Moses' life in Deuteronomy, you know, he says this a few times, but really he's talking to the time that I feel is most impactful. He's talking to his successor, really, mm-hmm. Joshua. Mm-hmm. And he tells him in Deuteronomy, which you'll probably recognize this verse, says, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you.
Right.
And that's great for a coffee mug, but this guy had just lived almost 100 years in the actual wilderness, but sort of also the wilderness of the mistakes he and God's people made.
That's right.
And sort of the repercussions for that, because there were consequences for their decisions. And yet he can end his life saying this.
That God will never leave you or forsake you.
Because he never left me.
Because he lived it. That's exactly mm-hmm. right.
And,
and we live that too. We just don't always know it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's true for all of us. Because there's a scripture in James that talks about Elijah, who we'll get to in a later episode, but that says, you know, he was just a man just like us.
That's right.
And that's true of Moses, too.
That's right.
And I think that's the promise that this week was trying to show us was it's not just because he was Moses.
That's right.
Moses became Moses because he actually knew it, and he was obedient.
That's right.
And he lived his life to it. But God's being with him, God's presence with them, is not unique to Moses.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be. It's with all of us. So
yeah, maybe that's another, you know, message. You can be Moses too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, you know, maybe just sent down the river in a basket, you know, we'll see. But no, yeah. So just like all of them, we'll say this every time, there's so much to Moses' life
right.
that we could talk about. And if you want to learn more about him, you know, like I said, you can check out this message. You can also just pick up your Bible, open Exodus, and just keep reading.
That's right.
And you'll hear the story of, just keep on reading. You'll hear the story of Moses, but it's one worth reading if you haven't before. Thanks as always, Brian, for your insight. Thanks for your stories. They're really meaningful and powerful. And thank you for listening. Like I said, share this all over the place. Make sure you subscribe or you follow or whatever it is on your platform that you do to get notified that there's another one. We're really excited about where this is going, and we're looking forward to what God's going to keep doing through it. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you soon.